Welcome to another episode of the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Han, and although there's of course still a big fight to fight when it comes to combating the rapid spread of fake news and alternative facts, awareness about these issues is massive at the moment, so we've gone some way to empowering ourselves to spot these fraudulent stories when they pop up in our feeds. But now there's a new, much less noticeable and less known way in which our social media feeds can be filled with lies and half-truths, especially tailored to suit the user. If the term dark adverts doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry, because we brought on Jemima Lovett, the founder of the London Legal Forum, to talk us through everything we need to know, from the role of dark ads in the upcoming general election, to who they target and Facebook's need to take responsibility. Stay tuned to listen to that and subscribe to us wherever you're listening to this podcast to stay up to date on all future Brexit news and opinions. You can also find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at brexitpodcast.
Last time you were on, we talked a bit about post-truth politics and alternative facts, and it seems like there's another dark cloud on that horizon in the form of dark ads. Now, that's not a term I think a lot of people have heard before. Could you explain what that means?
Yeah, of course. So a dark advert is essentially an unpublished post on Facebook, which is created purely for advertising purposes. And because it's unpublished, it can be slightly adjusted to different audiences and different demographics.
Okay, so a different post would get sort of beamed out to the feeds of different people, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you could have a line and it might, you know, appeal more to women or more to men, and then you could sort of twist it around and go the other way, and you could say, we only want this one to go to female users, we want this one to go to male users. And yeah, Facebook would be able to do that for you.
A recent article by the Press Gazette has called them worse than fake news. Do you think that's true, and how, why and why not?
I mean, I suppose it's more like that Facebook are agreeing with this, because it's something you can sign up to through Facebook. They have a whole facility for this sort of unpublished post. And so it's like Facebook is sort of colluding with this idea of sort of hiding something from some users and showing something to other users, which raises a few issues, because it's more around Facebook playing the role of the editor, which I think is something that they've really tried to move away from. And I think this is real evidence that they actually are really editing posts and the arbiters of what we read and what we consume.
Mm.
Whereas I suppose fake news is more kind of slightly random sites coming out of some countries where there's sort of whole industries around creating these bizarre articles that are kind of initially eye-catching, and you sort of click on them and you look and you realise that it's a load of rubbish and delete it. And so you kind of know that it's fake news. Whereas these dark adverts, I mean, I don't think people know about them. And people will just believe that, you know, they're saying something that they genuinely believe, especially in the context of a general election. You could literally have a political party sending out an advert saying X, Y, and Z to one audience and A, B, and C to another audience. And it could, you know, be essentially lying to the electorate.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It might be slightly more innocent when the issue just comes to adverts and getting out targeted advertising for clothes or whatever. But when it comes into politics, it becomes a whole lot more morally compromising, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it makes sense for a company, like a commercial organisation, to want to target different demographics of people. So if you're Sainsbury's, you might target different age groups with different products, depending on, you know, students want different food to families. So, you know, that makes sense that they want to adjust their advertising and show different product ranges within one advert. But as you say, when you get to kind of like a political party, and I think this advert said, you know, Vote Leave last year spent £1 billion on these sort of adverts, which is really concerning, because that's £1 billion, that's an awful lot of money to put into something. So it obviously is effective for them. And the only reason why you would use this particular channel is if you wanted to send out different messages to distinctly different groups of people. And there's no way of scrutinising that, because you and I will see the messages that Vote Leave want to send to us. So we can scrutinise to an extent those messages, but we can't then compare them to what they're telling to other groups of people. And we can't do a kind of comparison, scrutinise and call them out on inconsistencies.
Who are these people that are being targeted then? Do you think it's mainly undecided voters?
Yeah, probably. I see, especially in the context of a snap election, there are a lot of undecided voters. And I think there's just a lot of concern about if, you know, you have sort of hardcore Brexiteers who are lifelong Lib Dem voters and who don't know who to vote for. You've got people who quite like May but aren't so sure about a hard Brexit. They think she's a safe pair of hands, but she does seem to be going down this sort of very tough line on Brexit. So people are really confused and conflicted in all different political persuasions and different perspectives on Brexit, on domestic policy, on foreign affairs more broadly. So I think there's a huge percentage of undecided voters, and that's why this is such an issue with this election, because it could affect so many people. It really could affect the swing, I think.
So you just mentioned a second ago that Vote Leave definitely already used this tactic during the referendum. Do you think it's pretty much set in stone then that it will also come up during the general election?
I would imagine so. I can't imagine that they won't be using this already in their advertising. We don't have any evidence of that.
Do you think that applies to sort of all political parties, or just maybe the two bigger ones, or...
I couldn't say. I think it will come down to budget, won't it? Because it is quite an expensive form of advertising. For it to be on a large scale for the whole country, it can be quite expensive. So I should imagine it will be the parties with bigger budgets. And those who maybe have quite a clear message. So if you're kind of pushing forward, say, the Lib Dem sort of, you know, if you voted Remain, you should vote for us kind of line, which essentially is kind of what they're running with. I suppose that's quite a straightforward policy. So you can put that up and then you can just slightly adjust it for different demographics. So if you know that it's going out to a part of the country that largely voted for Brexit, you might turn that around and say something along the lines of, no one voted for a hard Brexit, vote for the Lib Dems for a vote on the final deal, for instance. And then for people who voted largely Remain, you might send out something more sort of we're going to, avoid this, we want to remain. And so it just slightly adjusts the tone, I suppose, of what's being said.
Do you think there's any chance that sort of independent groups aside from the standard political parties might have a hand in buying these kinds of ads as well, seeing as there was a lot of talk about Cambridge Analytica potentially having a hand in Brexit and Trump's success, really? Do you think they could buy some dark ads as well?
Yeah, so definitely. And it's definitely an area that hasn't been explored as much before. So we now know that there's sort of a suggestion that a lot of these fake news adverts coming out of Ukraine were targeting Brexit and were targeting voting for Trump. And they will now be looking for a new way to achieve that end goal, because, if you like, fake news has come onto the agenda a bit more. People are a bit more sceptical about it. You've got fake news classes happening in schools. So I think the dark advert is their next big thing. So we've just got to call them out on it first before they get there.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. Do you think that people are even aware of dark ads existing so that they would possibly be able to be on the lookout for them?
I don't think so. Not right now. It's just not a word or a concept that you hear a lot about. I mean, I am aware of what they are. I've heard of them being referred to, but I had to Google it just to clarify in my mind whether they were sort of unpublished or published adverts and what they actually, how they actually worked. They're not that well known about, and yet they are actually, a legitimate part of Facebook's offering. You can actually set up a dark advert. They refer to them as dark adverts themselves, which is just really odd. I think we're seeing Facebook take on a new role there, which is bizarre.
So are there any regulations in place in regards to this kind of advertising from political parties?
No, I mean, the last review was 2004. So they just, before kind of Facebook was available to everyone, before YouTube was even a website. So that was the last time we had any in the UK. I mean, it's remarkable that it's gone that long, and we definitely need to have a review and put some legislation in place, because it is sort of deceitful, really. And we need to be able to scrutinise journalists. We need to be able to scrutinise publications and election campaigns, and the material that we're being sent online, to make sure that it is accurate and it is true. And I think any upstanding journalist or political party would welcome scrutiny. But I think if you're using this format, then perhaps that implies that you are trying to avoid it.
So is there a push for that right now, for sort of updating the advertising standards authorities? Any kind of action being taken? Do you know?
Yeah, so in the article the Press Gazette published, they referred to Full Fact. Will Morley, who is director of that organisation, calling for another select committee on it. I mean, that's something I would support, and I think for the kind of value of our political world, and given we have so many elections these days, we need to get on top of this stuff and put it into legislation, what's acceptable and what's not. But we also need to work with organisations like Facebook and Google, and a bit like WhatsApp with the recent terrorist attack in London. You know, they do sort of slightly put the guard up on being open to those kind of dialogues, which is concerning in itself.
Do you think there's anything that people can do right now in the run-up to the election, assuming that that committee won't be able to come together before the election, so there definitely won't be any rules in place before then, that people can do to either be aware of the ads, to be on the lookout for them, I'm assuming there's no way to tell apart a dark ad from a regular ad, is there?
There's no way to tell apart a dark ad from a regular advert, but I think you have to assume that anything you're seeing in a kind of advertised format on Facebook, that's being paid for. So don't totally accept it at face value, and scrutinise, read manifestos, do your research before casting your vote.
We mentioned on Tuesday's show, actually, that a bunch of high-profile Tory aides have actually resigned. Do you reckon, because they were a lot of sort of communications people, would they be the kinds of people that set up these ads, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think they probably would have been, yeah. So maybe they're not up to it as much now.
Maybe not, no.
I mean, I think it's quite an emerging area of an issue. You know, this is the first kind of proper article I've seen written about dark adverts, and it'll be interesting to see how the dialogue develops over time, because it's definitely one of those areas where it kind of makes you feel slightly uneasy when you read about it. Definitely, I think more so than fake news. I think fake news people could get on top of quite quickly, because it was just, if it's too extreme, then just ignore it. Whereas this is slightly more subtle. It's slightly scary. It's kind of like soft power, slightly concerning.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I don't even know how it could possibly be regulated. Even if, say, a regulation were to pass, what would it possibly look like? Is it just that people need to submit any kind of ad they send out beforehand to get it scrutinized? But then how do we know that other ads aren't being sent out if we weren't to ever see them?
Where do you start? Yeah. Well, is it that you have a kind of symbol on it saying, like, this has been authorized, this passed test or something? Is it that you work with Facebook and say everything has to go through this process to be allowed? I mean, the way forward is just to say to Facebook, like, what are you doing? Like, don't have dark adverts. You know, if people want to have multiple adverts, that's fine. They can publish multiple posts and send those out, but it shouldn't be necessary to have this facility in many ways. You know, any kind of advert should be published first on the kind of, on a page.
Yeah, I suppose that's where the issue comes in again, of Facebook being so reluctant to call it, to admit that it is meddling in things, right?
To take responsibility, I suppose, for the position it holds.
So I suppose we'll have to wait and see what Zuckerberg does.
Yeah,
fingers crossed he has some morals. That would be nice.
Yeah. We'll see.
As always, thanks for listening. And if you enjoy the show, please feel free to subscribe to us and follow us on the usual social networks at Brexit Podcast and at brexitpodcast.com to stay up to date on all the best Brexit news and opinions. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming and Warren Paul, and our theme song is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod.